Now you might like to turn to, in your pew Bibles, to our first reading, which we're going to have in a moment, which comes from Romans chapter 4 and is on page 1131. Romans chapter 4, page 1131. Just a minute, Rob, I'm just going to say something about it first. In fact, maybe a good percentage of the sermon before the reading today, deliberately this time. So our readings today encourage us to think about one of the most important questions that there is. Perhaps the most important question we could ever ask ourselves. Which is, how can human beings be right with God? How can we know friendship with God? How can we know forgiveness? Now, it might not be obvious to us that we need to ask ourselves that question, but in his letter to the Romans, Paul has been building up an argument to show us our need for forgiveness and God's provision for it, and today how we receive it. So if you've got Romans 4 open on page 1131, let's just look back at those verses that we've already used in our service today. Look at chapter 3 and verse 10, just across the page there. Quoting from the Old Testament scriptures, Paul says, "There is no one righteous, not even one, no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away." Left to ourselves, that's what we're like as human beings. None of us are righteous. We all break God's law. We all go our own way. We all rebel against him. And in our Bible reading, we're going to hear the word wrath, used here to describe God's holy anger against sin, God's judgment, which Paul says we deserve. That's our human need, our problem. But the great good news of the Bible is that God loves us, and God has provided a way for sinners like you and me to be his friends, to be forgiven. Just look across the page at chapter 3 and verse 21. Paul says, "A righteousness from God, apart from the Old Testament law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify." And that's what we're going to think about today. God's righteous way of making unrighteous people like you and me righteous with him. If you look down at our reading in chapter 4 and verse 1, you see that Paul is going to refer back to Abraham, one of the great heroes of the Old Testament, the founding father of the nation of Israel. It's really with Abraham that God starts his special promises for his people Israel. And the whole rest of the Bible can be seen as the fulfillment and working out of those promises. So Paul says, well, think back to Abraham. What did he discover in this matter? How did he get right with God? How do the Old Testament scriptures, the law of Moses, show us that even Abraham himself was put right with God? And that's what we're going to discover in our reading now, which Rob is going to read for us. Thank you, Rob.
"What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, discovered in this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. This is the word of the Lord.
And thank you, Rob. So, Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What did Abraham, our forefather, discover in this matter? How was he justified? How was he put right with God, declared righteous, acquitted, made friends with God, and forgiven? If you look at verse 3, Paul says we can see the answer in black and white from the Old Testament scriptures. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was put right with God by faith in God, by believing his promise, by trusting him. And Paul says, verse 2, this is not by works, not what he did. Look again at verse 4. It's not a matter of our work, what we earn or deserve, as if it was a wage. No, it's a matter of a gift. A gift which is received by faith, by the one who does not work, does not earn it, does not deserve it, but trusts God who justifies the wicked. That's an astonishing thing for Paul to say, isn't it? That God justifies the wicked. It sounds like an outrageous miscarriage of justice. But Paul has already said that God has got a just way of justifying the unjust. Just look back to chapter 3 and verse 25. It was through Jesus that God could justify the wicked. God could make sinners like you and me right with him without just ignoring sin and pretending it didn't matter. Chapter 3 and verse 25. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. All the sins of all those who would put their trust in Jesus were taken upon him. Jesus paid the price that we deserve that we might be forgiven. So justice was done. That's what Paul goes on to say. God did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he'd left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. But he did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. The death of the Lord Jesus in the place of all those who would trust in him is God's just way of justifying the unjust. God's righteous way of making unrighteous people like you and me righteous in Jesus. And we receive this forgiveness by faith, by believing in him. Paul says in chapter 4 and verse 16 that this promise is by grace, by the undeserved love of God, for all Abraham's offspring, not only for those who are of the law, the Jewish law, the Old Testament heritage, but all those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Those promises to Abraham come to anyone who has faith like Abraham's, anyone who will put their trust in Jesus and believe in him. And in our second reading, we're introduced not this time to Abraham, but to Nicodemus, and he receives a similar message. Let's hear that reading now, please.
Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter the second time into the mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do not understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
So, a bit like Abraham was a very great person in the Old Testament, Nicodemus is quite a great person. He's a member of the Jewish ruling council, one of the Pharisees. Jesus calls him the teacher of Israel. So he's a bit like a cross between a member of parliament and a bishop and a professor. He's a very great person. And he comes to Jesus full of respect and interested in him. He recognizes Jesus as someone who's been doing great miracles and who must have been sent by God. And yet Jesus says to Nicodemus, to this great, learned, religious, powerful man, you must be born again. You need God to give you new life. It's not something you can do for yourself. You can't enter your mother's womb a second time to be born, Nicodemus says. He doesn't really get it. How can I do that? How can I be born again? But Jesus is saying that God must do this for him. It's a gift to be received by faith. And we can see that if we look at chapter 3 and verse 14, if you've got it open in front of you. Jesus refers back here to an incident in Numbers 12 when the people of Israel, when the people of Israel were travelling through the wilderness from Egypt to the promised land, and the people rebelled against Moses and against God. God sent venomous snakes into the camp that bit them, and God told Moses to make a bronze serpent and to hold it up. And anyone who looked to the bronze serpent in faith would be healed and forgiven. Jesus says, John chapter 3 and verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus is going to be lifted up on the cross. And anyone who looks to that cross in faith, who believes in Jesus, will have eternal life, will be forgiven. That's the message of that famous verse which comes next, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. How can we be right with God? Well, by believing in Jesus. I want to suggest three responses to these things which we've seen from these readings today. Believe, rejoice, and share. So first of all, believe. Put your trust in Jesus. Receive this gift of forgiveness and friendship with God and eternal life which he offers you. Believe. Depend on Jesus. Go on depending on him. Second, rejoice. What could be better than friendship with God, forgiveness, and the hope of eternal life? Isn't this wonderful good news? Paul is going to go on to say in Romans that in response to this, we should offer our whole lives to God in worship. Believe, rejoice, give thanks, delight in the saving work of the Lord Jesus. And thirdly and finally, share. Isn't this good news too good to keep to ourselves? It is for anyone who will put their faith in Jesus. So by the way we live, by what we say, let's seek to share this good news with others. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. May God give us grace to believe, rejoice in, and share this good news. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your wonderful love for us, that in your kindness and justice, you have made a righteous way that unrighteous people like us can be put right with you. We thank you for the death of the Lord Jesus in our place, and that believing in him we are justified, forgiven, made your friends, given the gift of eternal life. Help us to depend on Jesus and to go on believing this good news. Help us to live in the light of it, lives of grateful response, rejoicing in all that you have done for us. And help us by the way we live and speak to share this good news with others, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.